Morning. Can you guys think of anything more interesting to talk about than Bible translations? I don't know if I can. Yep, like Kevin said, we'll be in 1 Corinthians today. We'll be continuing our series on 1 Corinthians, being one, being united. 1 Corinthians 12, the topic is spiritual gifts. Now, spiritual gifts, this idea of abilities and powers and gifts, very popular today. How many movies have you seen about superheroes, about the X-Men, about Harry Potter and his magical abilities? I was working on this talk and my roommate interrupted me because he had stood in line for 3 hours for the new Nintendo Switch. And then we start playing for a couple of hours and there's this game where it's on like the new 1-2 Switch game where you can pretty much recreate the final battle between Harry Potter and Voldemort, and they're just wielding the power of the wand and trying to overpower one another. And my arm got pretty sore, and then I was like, I gotta go back, work on this talk. Why is this topic so important? I thought of three reasons. The first reason that this talk is so important is because there's so much confusion. There's confusion about what the spiritual gifts are, how to use them. Number two reason is that just knowing them doesn't mean that we're using them properly. And if we use them improperly, we can cause a lot of damage. It can lead to weak and divided churches. It's the opposite of our theme passage, of our theme of our series, being one and being united. And then the third reason I thought of why this is such an important topic is because we're a mess. Like, we fail to honor God, we fail to honor one another, and there are needs here in this room, there's needs all over campus, and we need to be a hospital for the hurting, a hospital for the broken. And that's what God calls us to do. He calls us to use our gifts to bring healing. Now, when it comes to the topic of spiritual gifts, I was thinking about this, I'm like, man, we're probably all across the spectrums. Like, some of us know nothing, and so this is going to be a challenging passage. 1 Corinthians 12 is going to be challenging. Some of you think that the spiritual gifts can be a little weird, especially the supernatural ones, the ones like prophecy and vision and dreams. Granted, there's a lot of silliness out there. There's a lot of silliness on TV and Christians that put on the show that have nothing to do with God. Some of you have these gifts. You have prophecy or tongues or interpretation, and you just feel a little out of place. You wonder if there's an opportunity for you to use your gifts. And then most of us, I think, we read our Bibles and we believe, okay, these gifts exist, but I kind of wish they weren't in there. Like, I'm glad we're talking about it, but a part of me wishes it wasn't in the Bible. I just started coming to H2O. Please don't get weird on me. At H2O, we want to have a culture that celebrates. And we want to have a culture that's encouraging. So we want to celebrate all the gifts, and we want to encourage all the gifts. The problem, the thing that keeps us from having this culture, I believe, is that we all have a peacetime mentality. We think that we're in the time of peace. And the reality is that there's a spiritual war that's going on that's destroying hearts and minds. Ephesians 6, if you get a chance, read it. It's so clear that we are to have a wartime mentality. When I say wartime, I don't mean protesting the government. I don't mean picketing. I mean there is a spiritual battle. There is a war for our souls. Satan is a liar, and he loves to tell us that we are at peace. When Satan is alive, his kingdom of darkness is completely opposed to the kingdom of light. God's kingdom. So God gives us spiritual gifts to fight this war. I love how there's this Presbyterian missionary named Dr. Ralph Winter. Here's how he puts it. I have this picture of, there's this vast British ship from the mid-1900s. It's called the Queen Mary. And this is what he writes. He says, "Lying in repose in the harbor at Long Beach, California, is a fascinating museum of the past, used both as a luxury liner and a troop transport during the Second World War. Its present status as a museum, the length of 3 football fields, affords a stunning contrast between the lifestyles appropriate in peace and war. On one side, you see the dining room reconstructed to depict the peacetime table settings appropriate to the wealthy patrons of high culture for whom a dazzling array of knives and forks and spoons held no mysteries. On the other side of the partition, the evidences of wartime equipment are in sharp contrast. One metal tray indentations replaces 15 plates and saucers. Bunks 8 tiers high explain how the peacetime capacity of 3,000 passengers gave way to 15,000 troops on board during wartime. How repugnant to the peacetime masters this transformation must have been. To do it took a national emergency. Of course, the survival of a nation depended on it. When we are thrust into a war, our gifts come out. This is not peacetime. This is a time of war. Satan is very crafty. He's trying to convince us it's peacetime. Do you know how hospitals operate in times of war? Every abled man, woman, child, grandparent, everyone is called to assist. Every surgeon, every nurse, every medic is called to assist. Everyone is focusing on what can I do to help? Unfortunately, the Christians in Corinth forgot the purpose of the gifts, and we see the aftermath. But before we dive into 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to pray and ask God's Holy Spirit to put his power in this message. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this morning. We pray that you would send your Spirit this morning. You would Lord, help us to have soft hearts. Help us to have humble hearts. Lord, help us to engage our hearts and our minds as we read, as we seek to understand. Lord, I pray that this would not just be a time of instruction. Lord, I pray that we would both be instructed and it would transform our hearts. Lord, we pray this morning that this would not just be another Sunday morning where we wake up and we get a little bit more Bible knowledge. Lord, instead, we ask that you would use this morning to awaken us to the spiritual realities of the spiritual war raging around us. Lord, help us to get into the fight. Help us to see that you've called us to use the unique gifts you've given us. In your name, amen. All right, we're going to read 1 Corinthians 12. If you have a Bible, you can grab it, pull it out. I'll be out of the ESV, the English Standard. New Testament, after the Gospels, after Acts, and Romans. There we go, 1 Corinthians. Here you go, first three verses. It says this. This is Paul. This is the Apostle Paul. Excuse me. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one is speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And so here's where we're at. The church in Corinth. There's a bunch of Christians, and they're using their spiritual gifts, and Paul is saying, I don't want you to be uninformed. This is instruction. And so the Christians in Corinth were, at one time they were pagans, and they were led astray, and now in verse 3, they're led by the Spirit of God, and now they're proclaiming Jesus is Lord. However, Paul is saying, just because you have the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that you're perfect. And so the church in Corinth is still a mess, and the same thing is true of us. The same thing is true of the church in the United States. And the view of the world on Christians, the view of the world on the church is not a good one. What are some of the things that I hear from the world? Churches are divided over petty things. They are judgmental people. They're filled with prideful people. It's irrelevant. It's unhealthy. It's weak. What happened? Paul's saying, we got some work to do. We've got to understand the purpose of the gifts. And so we keep reading. Verse 4 to 11 says this. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. to another the interpretation of tongues, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, this is a list of spiritual gifts, and I want to note there's a difference between natural abilities and spiritual gifts. Natural abilities are things that we're born with. Some of us are just better at singing and making music. Some of us are just better at running and jumping and making art and learning. Those are natural gifts. Those are things that God gave us at conception, when we were born. Spiritual gifts are different. They are spiritual. They are supernatural. They come upon you at the giving of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know there are tons and tons of questions about the spiritual gifts. How many do I get? When do I get them? Are they permanent? So many issues, right? So many complex issues, actually so many controversial issues, so many churches that have been split apart because of differences in opinions. I would love to answer all your questions this morning, but you can just email me, and my email is aziz.nahas@h2osu. And you can just send them all there. Let's focus on the main reason, right? All these issues, the main reason why the Holy Spirit empowers us with gifts is to build strong churches. And that's 1 Corinthians 12:7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We're given spiritual gifts for the common good, for the whole congregation, so that churches can be built up, so that we can build strong churches. And we are called to not only know what our gifts are, we're called to use our gifts. And so some of you come from backgrounds where you know a lot and there's been a lot of instruction. And so you could give me a whole list of spiritual gifts. You could even define them for me. But if you know them but don't really use them, it's like opening up a medicine cabinet. Or you see all these medicine bottles and you've labeled each one correctly. This one's for fevers. This one's for headaches. This one's for malaria. But you don't use them, and so it's like you have all these labels on these medicine bottles, but they're all empty. There's knowledge, but there's no power. Some of you guys come from backgrounds where they were encouraged to use these gifts, but there's very little training, there's little coaching, there's little instruction. And so it's like opening up the same medicine cabinet, but instead your medicine cabinet has no labels, right? There's all these medicine bottles, they're filled with medicine, but there's no labels. And so when you start using them, it can be very dangerous. You can make a mess, and then the Apostle Paul has to come in and rebuke us. You have to know your gifts, and you have to use your gifts, because the gifts are given, in verse 7, for the common good, so that we can build the church. I thought it'd be helpful to give some definitions. And so I just took a few of these gifts and tried to give us a little working definition. Prophecy is something that God can spontaneously bring to mind. John Piper says it does not carry intrinsic divine authority. It may be mixed with error. So prophecy can be something that God brings to mind, but it's going to be on a different level in authority than the Word of God. Okay, and so there's no more thus saith the Lord because we believe the biblical canon is closed. God has spoken and he has given us his word, and this is what is authoritative. And so if someone shows up in a small group and goes, thus says the Lord, you should be a little nervous. And, excuse me, it probably doesn't come up like that. It's probably more subtle. It's probably a, well, I don't know, I know it's not ideal that we're having sex before we get married, but the Lord told me it's okay because the Lord knows we'll get married eventually. That is not prophecy, because here's what I know. Either, I know what God says in 1 Thessalonians 4 about premarital sex. And so either God is wrong or you're wrong. Yeah. Prophecy should not be used to justify sin. Prophecy is used to build up the church. Knowledge. What's a word of knowledge? It can be a supernatural understanding of Christian doctrine, or it can be a word of knowledge, a supernatural word of knowledge granted by the Holy Spirit. Tongues. Nothing controversial about this one. The exact nature is debated, and Kevin's actually going to go through 1 Corinthians 14 in a couple weeks, so we'll talk more about this. But tongues can be a missional gift. Tongues can be the ability for a speaker to speak and proclaim the gospel in a foreign language, unknown to the speaker. How amazing is that? Who wants to go on the mission trip? Now, how much does God love the nations that he gives us these gifts? Interpretation, a supernatural ability to interpret someone who's speaking in tongues. Wow, the Lord gives us spiritual gifts to build strong churches. Here's one of the problems that kept the Corinthians from building a strong church. One of the problems was that they were idolizing certain gifts. They were elevating one gift over the other, tongues, you know, over others. And we can do the same thing in this church. We idolize maybe different gifts. We can idolize preaching or evangelism. And this can lead us down pride. It can lead us down shame. How do you know if you're elevating a certain gift? How do you know if you're elevating preaching? Well, if you elevate preaching, you are doing whatever it takes to become a preacher. And then you lose all objectiveness on whether or not you have that gift. How do you know that you're idolizing? You think pastors are extra spiritual because they're preaching. You think that if you get to use this gift of preaching, you're more valuable in God's kingdom. You're more valuable to God. And you think that because it's so valuable, you start dominating small group time with your teaching. What happens is you start rejecting other people's gifts and you're keeping other people's gifts from benefiting the church. This can also not only lead to pride, it can also lead to shame. Right? Some of you feel shame about your abilities. I wish I had the gift of evangelism. I wish I was like that guy who's sharing the gospel constantly. I wish I was like that gal who's baptized 5 women every single semester. You think that because you don't use this gift, you're less valuable to God. You start to withdraw, and the same thing happens. You're keeping your gifts from benefiting the church. I don't want this gift. I want that gift. We play the comparison game. You're thinking of yourself. That's what's really happening. We're just thinking of ourselves. We're not thinking about God and his church. Our aim is not to use the gifts. Our aim is to build disciples and to raise up disciples. And here's the thing. If you don't like your gifts, your conflict isn't with people. Your conflict is with the Lord who gave you these gifts. Do you trust the Lord? Do you trust his wisdom? Do you trust his guidance? This is exactly in verse 11. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, "All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, one who apportions to each one individually as he wills." He's the one who apportions. He's the one who makes us, he creates us, he gives us gifts, and he does it all so that we can build strong churches. Do you trust him? Do you trust the Lord and his wisdom? Remember, this is not peacetime. This is a time of war. The church isn't a place where we just come in and consume and get more teaching. The place, this church, is a hospital for the hurting, for the wounded. We need your gifts. We need you to get in the fight. Okay, so in order to build strong churches, we're going to have to understand what our gifts are and how, that's the million-dollar question, right? How do I know what my gift is? How many of you guys have taken one of those spiritual assessment tests? Right, a lot of you guys have taken one of those. How many of you guys walked away knowing exactly what your gifts are and how to use it? I don't see any hands. There is no quick and simple way to find out. This could take years. This could take decades. So the pressure is off. I was talking to 3 of our pastors this week about what their gifts are, and they're in the same spot. They're like, wow. Even these pastors who are, you know, they've been following the Lord for decades, they're still trying to figure out their gifts and how to use them. And take this for example. The Bible says to love your enemies. Try it. Challenge yourself to love people that are difficult to love. Because if we only serve people who are naturally easy for us to love, how will we know how God has gifted us to supernaturally? You know, if we only serve people who are naturally easy for us to love, how will we discover the ways that God has supernaturally empowered us to serve? Let's try new things. Facilitate a small group discussion. Have a spiritual conversation with someone. Go on the mission trip. Some of you need to sign up for Tennessee mission trip. There's still spots available. Today's the last day. Try to meet needs in the church. When you start meeting needs, then it will become evident. It will become evident to you, or it will become evident to the people around you. Why does it work this way? Because the Spirit gives gifts when they're needed. And so if you're focused on building God's kingdom, he's going to give you gifts. Some of these can be temporary. In this passage, it talks about how, in verse 7, it's a manifestation of the Spirit. And in verse 8, these are utterances. These are utterances of wisdom, utterances of knowledge. These are given at a time when you're actually trying to build God's kingdom. So here's my homework for you. Ask your friends what they think you're gifted in. Ask your small group. Why ask them? Because of sin and insecurity. It's so hard for us to accurately identify what our gifts are. Imagine if everyone in this room started this conversation. Imagine if everyone in this room started to explore, how's God gifted me? How does he want to use me to build his kingdom? We'd start to be a hospital for the hurting. These gifts were given so that we would build strong churches. Not only do spiritual gifts allow us to build strong churches, but they also build united churches. Strong churches can't be strong unless they are also united, and that's what we see in verse 12 and 13. It says this, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit." We are all baptized into one body. We're all family. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all sons and daughters of the King. That makes us all united because we all belong to Christ. We're all united. And so this tells us that even though we're diverse, we're still completely united. It goes on with the analogy of the human body. Verse 14, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body." We need each other. We can't build a church without each other. God has given some of us to be feet, some of us to be hands, some of us to be eyes. Let's say I am inspecting an old abandoned house with my family. All right, let's pretend I only have one of these body parts. Let's say I'm only an eye. What does that allow me to do? I can go into the basement and notice rusted nails and rusted paint, and you know, I have these eyes. I can see objects in the basement, but I don't have a sense of smell, and because I can't smell anything, I can't detect the poisonous gas that's in the air. Okay? Now, let's say I'm just a nose. I can smell the poisonous gas, but I can't yell. I don't have a mouth. I can't yell to everyone else in the house and warn them of the danger. Let's say I'm just a mouth. I can yell, but I can't hear. So I can yell to everyone in the building, but I can't hear anyone's response. I can yell, but do they hear me? We are diverse but united. Spiritual gifts remind us we are so diverse. We are so completely united. And that's Paul's point here. You remember the two dangers from above. We can withdraw from community when we think, man, my gift is inferior, and we're keeping our gifts from benefiting the church. Or we can reject others' gifts. We can say, oh, that gift isn't so great. We're keeping their gifts from benefiting the church. We need diversity. We are diverse, but completely united. Here's your next homework assignment, because you don't have enough homework. Do you feel that you are able to use your gifts in this church? This is really important to us. It's really important to us that we create an environment where you are free to explore and free to use the gifts that God has given you. Are you able to use the gifts that God has given you? I would say just start the conversation. Grab a friend. Grab a small group leader. Grab a church leader. Let's start the conversation. Because here's our hope and dream at H2O. We want to be a community of servants. That's only going to happen when we function in the way that God's designed us. That's when we'll be healthy. Many of these gifts can be used in the context of H2O teams and H2O small groups. This is why we do teams, so that you can build relationships with other men and women, so that you can know one another and encourage one another and build one another up and so build a stronger church. We want to be a place where you're using your gifts to make disciples, to build stronger churches, and we want to be a hospital for the hurting. The healthier we are, the more we can participate in God's kingdom. The more we participate in God's kingdom, the more that we can give it away. One of our hopes as a church is to actually plant collegiate churches at college campuses all over the nation. Not so that we can be big and impressive, but so that the gospel can go out to the whole world. Not only are these gifts given so that we can build strong churches, not only these gifts remind us that we are diverse, but united. These gifts are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's 1 Corinthians 12:11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. Don't worship the gifts. Worship the gift giver. Some of you guys are thinking, finally, we're talking about spiritual gifts. Finally get to use my gifts. All right, everyone, stand back. You're about to see some real power. You're missing the point. You're missing the point that these gifts are given to build up the church. The point isn't for us to see how impressive you are. The point is to see how impressive God is. None of us are God. None of us are awesome. None of us have the power to change a cold and distant heart from the Lord. There should be no pride in us. There should be no boasting in us. The Spirit empowers. The Spirit distributes. He gets all the credit. Worship the gift giver, not the gifts. All right, and then in verse, let's skip down to the end of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31. It says this, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. Some of you guys think, I know God's word, and I'll share God's word. And you totally neglect the power of God. You totally neglect verse 31. Earnestly desire the higher gifts. You need God's power. You need God's gifts. You need the higher gifts, gifts that will benefit the church. We need to humble ourselves, seek to be filled with the Spirit. That's exactly what Galatians 5 is talking about. I'll just read it to you. 5:16 says this, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And then later on in 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. There is no law against these things. Have at it. Be generous. Imagine our church filled with people who are producing this kind of fruit. Imagine our church being men and women where we're filled with God's power. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you guys are just so accustomed to running on your own power. All right, you see a lot of things just over and over. All right, there's someone that needs to hear the gospel. Here's someone who needs encouragement. Here's someone that needs a listening ear, and we can totally start to neglect God's Spirit, His power. We start to run on our own power. This is saying God's the one who empowers. If we have any hope of anything good happening, we need the power of God. Run on God's strength. He's the one who empowers. Spiritual gifts are empowered by the Holy Spirit. I think this is also a call to generosity. God's been generous with us, so we need to be generous with others. A lot of us are not generous with our time, our gifts, our energy, because we don't know if anyone's looking out for us. We don't know if we're going to get our needs met. So why am I going to, you know, pour myself out for other people? Why am I going to be completely drained by others? Who's taking care of me? Who's looking out for me? That's the beauty of the gospel. In the gospel, God meets all our needs for comfort, security, and belonging. The gospel is God's taking care of you. He's taken care of all your needs, so now go and be generous. I was at a church planning conference this past weekend, met this guy named Jeff Christofferson. He was the one giving like the big talk. He's actually vice president of the North American Mission Board in Canada. So this guy knows what he's talking about. He says this about generosity. He says, to be beneficiaries of God's grace automatically makes us distributors of that same grace. So go and be generous. We've been beneficiaries of God's grace. So now we can be generous. We can give it away, knowing that God is our root. He's going to continue to build us up and infuse us. Infuse us with energy. All right, calm down. All right. Some of you guys don't feel like you have any gifts. And that could be true if you don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. The truth is, God's greatest gift is Jesus, and some of you guys need to place your faith in Jesus because God... Let's think back to what the Bible teaches us. God is the omnipotent creator of all things. He creates us and he calls us to worship him as king and as our creator. Instead, we turn our backs on him. We rebel against him and we say things of this earth look better. We worship things on earth. And because we do that, we are guilty of condemnation. There is nothing that will save us from the wrath to come. And that's why Jesus comes. That's why Jesus comes as a baby and dies on the cross. He dies for us, thereby satisfying the wrath of God. So some of you guys just need to put your faith in Jesus. Some of you guys just need to turn from sin, hold on to Jesus, repent of your sin, put your faith in Jesus. Trust in him for your salvation. And then, we've mentioned this already, but some of you guys keep running on your own power. And some of you guys are just tired. It's tiring to run on your own power. It's tiring to try and figure out relationships. It's tiring to try and serve your friends, your classmates. It's tiring to figure out relationships with parents without the Spirit. And so, here's my encouragement. Stop looking at yourself. There's nothing there to see. There's nothing there that's impressive. We're all broken. We're all weak. Look up. Look at who God is. Look at him. He's the surgeon. He's the spiritual surgeon. He's the one who is able to make us into a hospital for the hurting and for the broken. Look at him. God is the one who empowers. God is the one who guides. God is the one with wisdom. He's the one who heals. He's the one who speaks truth. This reminded me of a passage from Isaiah. Isaiah 40, very, very popular. It says this at the end of chapter 40. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. God is the one who empowers. God is the one who is an omnipotent. God is the one who cares and is empowering us by his Spirit. Spiritual gifts are given by God so that we can build strong churches. Spiritual gifts are given to remind us we are completely diverse, but also completely united. Spiritual gifts are given and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We're going to do something a little different today. I thought in light of just this high calling from the Lord and how we need him, we're going to do a prayer of confession. We're going to do it together. So we're all going to stand up and we're going to do a prayer of confession. We're just going to say it all together. Now, here we go. Holy Spirit, you call us to be your agents of redemption, your body in this world. But too often, we get caught up in being a hand or a foot and lose sight of the mission set before us. We allow division to weaken our church. We go our separate ways, forgetting we need each other to be whole. Help us to see with new eyes and hear with the ears of our heart. The Holy Spirit who distributes the gifts, who strengthens and revives and enables us to do all you call us to do. O Spirit of love and joy, help us be faithful witnesses and use your gifts to build your kingdom. Amen. You guys can have a seat. We're going to transition into a time of communion just to remember Jesus and the gospel. And I'm just going to pray and Kevin will come up and lead us. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And thank you that you empower us by your Spirit to build strong churches. Lord, I pray that as we are instructed, as we start to learn how to use these gifts, Lord, that you would give us humility. Lord, you would remind us that you are the one who is omnipotent. You are the one who is building the church. Lord, help us to see with eyes of faith. Lord, I pray for our church that we would be a hospital for the hurting. We would be a hospital for the broken and the wounded. Lord, it is such a privilege to serve with you. And I pray that you would continue to enable us, continue to empower us. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.